This is the Don and Mike Show.
What are you going to do about it? Five young boys in the nude. A police lineup so that you can identify his tallywhacker. Please,
life.
Please, can we call it a tallywhacker?
We can put hoods over their heads to avoid embarrassment. Now listen, we have got to do it as distasteful as it is. I know it's him. That tallywhacker had a mole on it. And that mole is the key to it.
Miss Balbricka, do you realize the difficulty of your request? Now, I would be very happy to apprehend the young man myself. But can you imagine what the Board of Education would say if you were granted a lineup in order to examine their private their private parts for an incriminating mole?
Yeah.
Al Berker.
Okay.
I've got a song that ain't got no melody.
What not?
I'm gonna sing it to my friend.
Is everybody happy?
Well, hi, everybody.
Dumbass. Be warned. This is extremely graphic. So if you have small children in the room, don't let them disturb you.
You boys make me sick.
Like foul-mouthed bobblehead dolls, Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Uh-oh, Dongo!
Who's got a buzz? Who's got some type of breaking news for us? Buzz.
It's official. CBS Radio has fired Don Imus. It's all over for him. For now.
Boy, oh boy.
Hate to say
I will
told
always
you so.
Defer to you with yeah. this yeah. crap.
I was really not hoping that would come true.
I know. I know.
Wow.
There wow.
Well, I don't think anybody that does what we do and a lot of other people feel pretty down about this.
Read us the story, Buzz. What's the...
Very little to say. CBS has fired Don Imus. The move comes one day after MSNBC pulled the plug on his video simulcast of Imus in the Morning. Imus sparked a massive controversy last week for racially insensitive comments made about the Rutgers women basketball team. And I will tell you, as I mentioned earlier, that Les Moonves, executive at CBS, met today with Jesse Jackson and the Reverend Al Sharpton just prior to this announcement.
Now, what about his big deal charity that everybody was so concerned about?
I can only assume that the event itself, is the fundraiser, is still on. There'd just be no radio show to promote it tomorrow.
Well, I do believe that Don Imus will resurface. It's just a shame that this had to happen.
Well, at least they did. At least the company
they
did.
You didn't want to see him twist in the wind.
They
like
did
that.
When I asked right. a couple of hours ago. Not certainly not because I asked, but it was just... It was time.
Make
just,
a decision.
Just get rid of the guy or stand behind him and say we believe in the guy and we don't think he's going to do it again.
Right. Well, and back to that melancholy again, you know.
Yeah.
It's unfortunate, but, you know, he's a tough guy to be an apologist for, but you do feel sad that this situation happened.
I mean, I don't really find it hard to be an apologist, and I guess
we kind of disagree on that.
I was saying my own opinion. He's a radio guy,
right.
doing 20 hours of live radio a week, and this stuff happens. I mean, it happens. So be it. If he got
we do agree on the fact that we both agree that he shouldn't have been fired for it.
Yeah, I
you know,
agree.
I mean, you should have given the guy an opportunity to
fix it.
You know, to fix this. And he is smart enough where he would have done that.
Because the truth is, I think as everybody knows, if they've danced around this, the guy's done racial humor for years. And everybody, and this was part of the hypocrisy why NBC had to get rid of him in particular. Yesterday when we were speaking about my theory about Imus and why he became popular, mm-hmm. not because of ratings, because of the people he had on his show,
right.
he was spoon-fed almost all of those people from his association with MSNBC.
NBC,
right.
Like, he would have Tim Russert on his show all the time. He'd have
yep.
David Gregory right. on his show. Jesus Christ, he'd have Tom Brokaw and Brian Williams on his show all the
well,
time.
Well, you learn one thing, and we learned this a long time ago. Nobody defends somebody in that position.
Right.
Nobody's going to, you know, in the mainstream media is going to come out and make a big deal about it. You know, I mean, it's just not going to happen. You're going to have guys that do what we do. We're going to talk about it. But you're not going to have anybody. I believe that, you know, a few of the people have said, yes, I would still go on the show. But nobody was really, you know, riding to his rescue.
Oh,
and,
no.
And you know, who knows why that is.
I seriously think that this changes at least the scope of our show today. Mm-hmm. For right now, I mean, I don't mind taking phone calls for the rest of the show, but this is going to be on our minds.
Yeah.
And it's happening right now. Mm-hmm. And I think it's a good time to discuss something that we discussed a couple of hours ago. And bear with me, because I'm not being preachy here, and I'm not looking for any kind of publicity out of this for us, because God knows we can't get publicity.
Right.
We could say what he said a thousand times, and no one, I mean,
exactly.
It's our lot in life.
Mm-hmm.
So, understand that there's nothing self-promoting about this from our standpoint.
Understood.
But again, I'll say it again, right here in Chocolate City, in Washington, D.C., where Mike and I have broadcasted together for over 20 years, and I broadcasted for over 30 years. You got our station, WJFK, which is predominantly a white, male-oriented radio station. You've got WPGC, which is the market's number one radio station and is an urban station, a black station, mm-hmm. and they have equally stellar ratings with blacks.
Man, yes.
Why would you not, at this point in time, take these two radio stations, and I'll offer up our show, and simulcast something on these two radio stations where you would have at least an honest dialogue.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's helpful. I think that would be very, very helpful to get on and talk about. You know, I want to understand what everybody's thinking about this. I've heard a lot of the talking heads that talk about this. I've heard the callers to our show. I haven't heard enough of the other side, and I'd like to understand. There are a lot of people who are going to be satisfied with this decision. I want to understand that.
I don't think so, and I will say this to anybody working at WPGC.
You don't think there are going to be a lot of people that will be satisfied with this?
Oh, no. I think they will, which is why I think maybe they'll want to just not even move on this now
mm-hmm.
with what I'm talking about, with really getting, and again, not getting totally serious on your ass, but how about a real discussion? How about Washington, D.C., the most popular black broadcaster and arguably the most popular white broadcasters?
Fair enough.
How about a little round table on both radio stations?
I think that's a great idea.
Healthy,
what would be wrong with that?
No, mm-hmm.
I'd like to do it. I'd love to do it.
I'd like to see it happen.
I don't think they'll do it. And by them, I don't mean blacks. Mm-hmm. I mean
the suits.
WPGC.
Exactly. Well, the suits. I mean, the executives. Not Donnie probably be all for it.
The people that run this company, because right now we work for CBS.
I've had an opportunity to talk in private with Donnie about a lot of different stuff, because Donnie and I play some golf together. And, you know, it's really something that, I'd like to hear what his audience has to say. I'd like to hear what, people associated with that show have to say. And I'd like everybody to really try to get their head around what the other side is thinking. And really, and when I say sides, this has been a divided situation. You've heard two sides to this story, and I'd like both sides to get their heads around what other people are thinking.
For instance, if we are going to, at least for a moment, speak about race and broadcasting. Mm-hmm. You know, Mike, you mentioned something, we've talked about it before, and a lot of white people are afraid to say it. I'll say it. I'm not coming from a bad place with this. We mentioned how come Chappelle can do this and we can't. Well, because of slavery. What I'd like to ask a black broadcaster, one of our peers, his or her opinion, and get the discussion going. From the white perspective, at what point is retribution made? At what point as a society, do we say, yes, we behaved that way, we're not doing it now, we still are doing everything screwed up, but there's not slavery anymore?
No, you oversimplify it by saying that it stops at slavery, and you're ignoring what has happened between slavery and this very day.
But look
at your Fortune 500 people, companies, and look how many people have black people in positions of power to Fortune 500.
You and other people simplify it by not drawing the distinction between something that happened hundreds of years ago and something that is currently happening now. like with the Fortune 500 companies.
Well, yeah, I mean, what I'm saying is where I disagree with you is that, you know, I'm not just saying it's slavery and then it's now. I'm saying that you've got, you know, all this stuff that's happened in our country in between that. I mean, this wasn't fixed and still isn't fixed in this country, and was egregiously not fixed not less than 40 years ago. I mean, you had really separate societies. I mean,
so again,
where, you know, I mean, where, you know, guys couldn't go into certain, you know, restaurants and things like that.
I understand that. I
that's my point.
I am certainly aware of all of that. I would say again, though, even though it's in more recent history, 40 years ago, really, I'd like to hear from, and not from just anybody, from a broadcaster, someone in our field, someone we respect and like Donnie Simpson or whoever it is, you know, his personal feelings on it, his take on it as a broadcaster. How do you feel if someone white says something that maybe you could react to less than favorably? You know, I'm just trying to get a feel.
You and I want the same thing. Where does it come from?
Yeah. Where is the line being drawn? And
I understand where it's coming from when you hear the people saying, you know, how come you hear that in certain music? How come you hear that in Chappelle? Because there's a segment of the white community right now that feels that this is very, very unfair. And there will be more of that outcry now that he has been fired by CBS. There will be a lot of that. And, you know, I think that that's, I can understand where, I certainly understand
that's
where that's coming from.
And that's maybe a beginning point of the discussion that we should have. And I don't mean two fat white guys sitting around discussing it because, you know, you and I ain't going to change the world.
No, we're not.
But, you know.
But it would get, you know, I think you and I both agree, as you've said. I mean, we would gain some understanding. We don't talk about the difficult things. We sweep it under the carpet. This thing will go away so quickly, and this will be forgotten so quickly. And I think that really we've got to have more meaningful dialogue. And if that does that, you know, getting together with whoever we decide to do this with, if it can be done, I hope it can. It can only help. It can only help. I mean, it's all about communication.
It would be good for the listeners of both stations to interact.
Sure would. Sure would.
I don't care if it's here or if it's there. You know, wherever. Whoever's got the best facility.
You know, I remember a buddy of mine talking about the movie Remember the Titans, which took place out here in, I forgot, was it T.C. Williams? In
Alexandria.
In Virginia. And he's a black friend of mine, and he said they laughed watching this movie. I said, why did you think it was funny? He said, I think it was funny because it was not even because they sanitized it.
Of course.
Because it was so much worse.
Right.
It was so much worse than that movie portrayed.
Excellent point. Up until now, maybe you would feel, especially now, you'd feel weird saying, boy, they sure did whiten up that movie, didn't they?
Mm-hmm.
They sure did white it up.
Right.
Now, wouldn't it be nice to have a discussion with a brother about that? Without getting into name calling, back and forth, just to say, why is that? And is that white guilt that's doing that? And as a black person, is that patronizing to you? Obviously, your friends thought it was patronizing.
Well, I mean, and
that the movie was presented that way.
You talk about, you know, that's 40 years ago. We're talking about a guy that's younger than me and remembers that from when he played ball.
And now.
I mean, so that still existed. I mean, much less in this, you know, in this region and maybe in other regions. Of course, in other regions, it existed, well within the last 25, 30 years.
And beyond that, from a broadcasting standpoint, which is what I'm caring about most right now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what can we and what can we not say? We've always had a very defined line on our show that we will goof on race. We will goof on sexual orientation.
Do you think there's anywhere else in the country than right here in Washington, D.C., that's a better place to do this?
No, this is perfect.
I mean, this area, and not because there's a difference between the black communities and white communities. You've got that all over the United States. I'm talking about here, it seems to be swept away more than anywhere else. You've got these amazing racial divides in this city, and nobody really wants to have a meaningful discussion about it. And it's especially, and we've also happened to be in the seat of power in the United States. It's all right here, and nobody talks about it. Nobody talks about it with any you know, with any reality. It's, you know, it's the talking heads and the Don Imus thing, and then it goes away, and we're going to forget it, and we're going to go back. And what's going to be the next scandal? What's going to be the next thing? And nothing meaningful is going to come out of it. So really, I mean, if we can get a dialogue, because I'd like to know. I'd like to be educated. And you know what? And I would hope that that anybody that would do this with us would want to be educated also. And know, because I'm sure the questions would arise, too. I can't put myself in the position of a black person who was listening to this and getting mad at what Don Imus said. But I can understand when somebody would say, you know, hey, why are there so many people screaming at the top of their lungs? What about this music? What about these other people?
And I can't stop myself from just standing up and wanting to scream at everybody. Just shut up and let people say what they want to say, and let's see what happens. Just see what happens. I don't think you'll have...
It's refreshing what you're saying.
I don't think you'll have dogs mating with cats. I don't think you'll have riots in the street. I mean, seriously.
And I, you know, if,
for the last time about Imus, what he said was not fireable. It was offensive. It was not fireable. What does that say now to anybody doing a radio show now?
Good question.
What is that? Question. You know what that says? Don't ever talk about race.
Or anything.
You know, you're absolutely right. And that's what scares me a little bit, because you can't even go near the subject right now. You certainly have to be careful. And, you know, it's a very, very difficult situation that we're in right now, you know. And but as far as anybody that I would hear that would cry injustice, I would say, yeah, this is an injustice. This is an injustice that you can add to the list of injustices done to black people over the years and to white people. It happens. But this one is, you know, we both agreed on this, getting fired for this when I believe they could have come up with a more creative solution. It disappoints me. It really does.
It's the coward's way out. On one hand, like I said, I'm glad they finally just chopped his head off and put him out of his misery.
But the people piss me off also that say, without any of awareness of any other side of this issue, that go, oh, it's just words, he didn't mean it. No, BS. I'm sorry. There has to be something in this that gets people angry. Too many people I've listened to and too many people I've read that really, I believe, were sincere saying this was offensive to them. I believe that. I don't think you just sweep that under the carpet.
Here's the opposite side of that, and I feel very strongly about this. If you don't say things, especially when you're kidding, that rub people the wrong way.
Oh, I know.
How the frig are you ever going to be funny? If everything is sanitized and everything is pure and correct and you can't say anything that's offensive to anybody, close up shop. Close up freaking shop.
Pretty limited.
I understand where you're coming from. I'm just saying that I also think when you hear people, you know, and I've heard so many voices say this in the last couple of days, what about this? What about this? What about this? I think you have to, you know, that's why you have to have a dialogue, because I want to understand what's
exactly
going on.
What about it? So let's ask the hard and fast questions. And we could have this discussion on our radio show. The fact is, our radio show is about 90% white.
Mm-hmm.
That's what the demographics tell us, that the ratings company tells us. So if we want to, if Mike and I want to speak to an audience of black listeners, we're going to have to ask for a predominantly black radio station to join us
and
have a discussion.
And what
about
you're
it.
Saying is really reasonable. And I haven't heard a lot of reasonable radio on this whole subject. I haven't seen a lot of reasonable television on this. This is reasonable. This is a creative solution,
healthy,
a creative idea. What I don't like, you know, as much as people question the motives of the people that are screaming for Imus's head, I also question these people that are screaming at the top of their lungs about, you know, you hear this in black music too, because don't think for a second that the white audience is not being pandered to just as much as, you know, as some of the black audience is being pandered to in this situation. So, I think it's on both sides.
Yeah.
I want to get my head around, you know, it's still a divide, though. And where does it all come from? Where does it come from?
Well, it really comes from someone finally saying, okay, this is the issue, race. Let's not be pussies about it like everyone else. He said nappy-headed hoe. It's not the H word. It's not the B word. He said it. Deal with it. Deal with it. Do you have a problem with it? The guy got fired. Now let's move on to why he said it.
Where's the anger coming from? What are we? And maybe, I mean, who knows? I mean, out of dialogue come ideas. And, you know, who knows? I mean, God, I mean, we're not going to solve the world's problems on this radio show, but, you know, by having a reasonable approach to it and not having the trite, simple approach, I think it's a good idea.
If you cannot poke fun at people for their foibles, including the fact that they are different, then there is no basis for humor.
Where's the comedy?
I would also swear to God
that's so true.
I would say to you that you would, if you can't do that, you're going to once again be putting things, you're going to be hiding
under
things. You're
going to
be putting them deep down inside, and you're going to probably, by not having humor, I mean, humor is a way for us to vent. Humor is a way for us to get things off our chest. And really, you know, I think you're going to cause more hatred by making everybody afraid to say anything.
Yeah, and if we continue along the plan that apparently we're on now, I'll speak for white people. Gosh, it's frustrating that black folk can get on and say anything they want, and we can't. Now, what's wrong with saying that?
There's nothing wrong
with feeling that, because as a radio person, that's how I feel.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, what we do isn't 100% race,
no.
But we talk about race all the time on the show.
And I would tell you that.
Why can't we talk about race? Because we're not black? Because we're not qualified? We're humans. We are human freaking beings.
Mm-hmm.
Really? This whole thing about skin color is freaking ridiculous. I swear to Christ it is. And I don't care, because I'm getting off this carousel. Mike's getting off this carousel. But what about 5 years from now?
Right. You don't know what direction it's going to go.
Or less. I mean,
seriously.
What is going to be accomplished by doing this? And other than perhaps a sense of justice being served to a certain segment of America. I don't doubt that for a second that there are going to be people that feel that way. That say, you know, after all the wrongs that have been done, it's nice to see one. And you know what? It came out in the O.J. Simpson trial as well. You don't think we were a divided country in that? You don't think that came down on racial lines?
And you don't think we're still divided? You don't think we're still divided about that?
We're still divided about everything about race in this country.
For instance, aren't you still amazed when you see a black celebrity come out and say O.J. did it?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, let's be honest.
It's rare.
Please. I'm not making a joke. It's like you see a black celebrity go, yeah, O.J. killed his wife, and you go, whoo, it only took about 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
Seriously.
Right.
Now, that's the type of thing I'd like to discuss.
Should be discussed.
Right. I'd like to discuss with more than just my white buddies.
Mm-hmm.
If we are really discussing race and what can and cannot be discussed
airways. If we're able to do this, and I've done it more than a lot of people in my own life. And let me tell you, it makes for, you don't figure out a lot of stuff. You don't solve the world's problems, but it makes for a fascinating discussion, because it is really important that I think more people do this.
It could help, I think.
I really, really do. I think we're going to learn a lot.
So
I think our listeners will too.
So let's find an urban station here, excuse me, in Washington, D.C., that wants to do something about it. Because all of the black stations have slogans like the people station.
Right.
You know, power to the people. Well, I got news for you. There's white people, too.
Mm-hmm.
Not just black people. Just like on our station,
mm-hmm.
there are more than white people that we'd like to serve.
And a lot of calls we get, just like a lot of calls you would get at the urban stations have, you know what? They have people that call in that feel that nobody else is listening. And, you know, I got news for you. There are people that listen to the urban stations, and there are people that listen to our station as well. From all different races. And you're right, it is, when you really think about it, it is kind of ridiculous that we're where we are in 2007. It really is truly amazing.
This is what we're going to stop the world on its axis for?
Mm-hmm.
This is it? I'm a saying nappy-headed hoes. This is where we stop and get off as a society?
With all the crap that's been said and done?
Would you like to hear the brief written statement Les Moonves issued after firing Imus?
Yes, please.
It goes like this. From the outset, I believe all of us have been deeply upset and revulsed by the statements that were made on our air about the young women who represented Rutgers University in the NCAA Women's Basketball Championship.
I got to tell you, this guy's a freaking hypocrite. Imus has said this stuff for years.
Represented Rutgers in the championship, again, continuing the quote, with such class, energy, and talent. There has been much discussion of the effect language like this has on our young people, especially young women of color, trying to make their way in society.
Oh.
That consideration has weighed most heavily on our minds as we have made our decision. That's the end of Les Moonves'
statement. What a freaking hypocrite. I swear to God. God damn, what the hell is wrong? I mean, okay, so you fired him. But Jesus. Yeah, because you care about young women. Please.
No, it's a, you know, it's a weird situation.
Right, because CBS cares about young black women.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's one color CBS cares about, and it's green. And if advertisers had not pulled out, he'd still have his job.
I think that's when it was official, when they started dropping like flies, the advertisers.
And that's what everybody's got to get. This ain't black, this ain't white.
And this isn't Don Imus.
This is green.
This is not Don Imus. This goes beyond Don Imus. Yeah, this really does.
The head of NBC News made an equally hypocritical statement when he said that the advertisers vamoosing had nothing to do with his decision to let Imus go from MSNBC.
Gotcha. All right, well, let's see if there's an urban station out there that would like to take us up on our offer.
That would be terrific.
At some point over
the next
couple of days. That'd
be overdue. I've always thought it'd be fun to do something like that.
You know, let's see over the next couple of days if we can't get something going.
Very okay? And also, you know, I think, and you're right, next couple of days, you know, let the dust settle on this type of thing. And then do it when, you know what, do it when he's out of the headlines a little bit. Do it when, you know.
Well,
when,
that'll
when,
be like Tuesday.
Yeah. You're right.
The way our society works. We had our feeding frenzy, and tonight will be the last bit of it. No, I take it back. Tomorrow morning will be the last bit of it.
Yeah, I mean, people will be going crazy tomorrow. Right. People will be going crazy over this tomorrow.
Does he still have to go to the meeting?
I wondered about that. I don't know.
You know, that'll say an awful lot.
Yeah.
If he goes to the meeting or not.
Yeah. Say an awful lot about if he still wants to work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly.
That's what it says. Green again.
You're right about that.
Okay.
I'm here already.
Okay, pause. Be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.